worry, cause it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me. Come on, sing that out, say that.
I don't have to worry, cause
it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me.
It's working for me.
I can hold my head up.
It's working.
Hey, get your confidence back.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Look at Luke chapter number 15, verse number 11. Man. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I want to use for a topic and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, get up. And go home. Amen. That's the thought. Get up and go home. Amen. Many times, you know, you have company and you want to tell them, get up and go home. Many times you yourself are in places that you may not want to be in. Amen. And you keep telling yourself, I'm about to get up and go home. Amen. And so when I think about that, and that's my thought, because when you think about home, home is the place of comfort. Home is the place of convenience. Home is where you can be yourself. Home is a place where you have stored blessings. Come on and say amen. What do you mean I have stored blessings? The reason why you have closets and the reason why you have cabinets and pantries is because God had gave man the mindset that I need closets and cabinets and pantries so that you could store a blessing so when you need it, you can go get it. Amen. So home is the place where you have stored blessings. Home is the place where things are tailor-made just for you. Things are altered just for you. Things are put in place for your satisfaction. Amen. So when we talk about getting up and going home, you need to go back to the place where God has stored blessings for you. You need to go to a place where he's prepared for you. You need to go to the place spiritually, to the place where it's convenient and comfortable for your spirit. Amen. Not for your flesh. Amen. Many times people don't feel important. They don't feel like anybody loves them. Amen. But you need to know today, if you're in here, that God loves you. You're so important that he sent his word to you. He sent his only begotten son. He sent a message to you that whosoever believe in the message, that just so that you might be saved one day, would have eternal life. Amen. And so Jesus focused more on being clear in his delivery. Amen. He told stories and he gave parables so that the common people could understand, and not just understand, but they could relate to what he was saying. Amen. He found a way to draw them into what he was talking about. Hallelujah. And so when we look at this, we look at Luke, and we know that Luke was a physician, that Luke was not, as some people might believe, one of the 12 disciples, but he was a disciple. Come on and say amen. Just like Luke, we are disciples, and we should have a message, and we should have a gospel that we put down on paper, or we put out in the open where people can hear the good news that was spread. Amen. And so when we look at this, and just to get to this, it's called the parable of the prodigal son. Amen. To be prodigal really means to be wasteful. Amen. Means to indulge in riotous living. Amen. And so that's what made him that. Amen. And so here he was, this son. If you look at verse 11, he says, and there was a certain man that had two sons. So he was trying to show and talk to us and give us an understanding about relationships. And know that some of you thought that God loved you more, and God has a way of making you feel that he loves you more than he loves somebody else, because he's just that good. But he really loves us all. Amen. And he's not going to destroy and punish one person because they made you mad. Let's get that straight. Amen. But God wants them to be saved and sanctified and filled with his Holy Spirit as much as you are. And because you have his spirit, you should not want to see judgment on them. You should want to see them saved. Amen. And so he had two sons. And verse 12 said, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Boy, reminds me so much of the people of today. Why do I say that? Because of entitlement. Because of entitlement, this boy said, give me the portion that's due to me. He asked for something he never worked for. Come on and say amen. He asked for something, or better yet, he didn't even just ask, but he demanded, because he didn't say, please give me, or may I have what's coming to me. Come on and say amen. But he demanded what he did not earn, nor what he deserved. Amen. Because he was a young boy. Amen. He was a son that was growing up in his father's house. And so here he is demanding of his father to give me what's entitled to me. Amen. You got so many young people now today. We feel like we're entitled to so much. And I'm not talking about Social Security or some type of aid, but I'm talking about we feel like we're entitled to some things that we never earned. Oh, come on and say amen. We got some people that want the respect and they never earned it. Oh, come on and say amen. We got so many that want to have all this money or this cash and to floss and to flash and to show the bling that they got, and they never worked a day in their life. They want stuff so easy now. Nobody want to work to get it. Nobody want to put in the time to get it. Oh, yeah, it's this, let's get rich quick. Let's do it real easy, amen? Some of that has to do with the church. The church has promoted that in so many ways. We've been called that name it and claim it generation, that call it and haul it, that blab it and grab it group of people. Come on and say amen. Y'all don't have to, but I know it's right. Amen. The church is responsible for some of that because we don't really want to put in our time. We don't really want to put in time worshiping and witnessing and working for God. We think that as soon as you come in, all you got to do is give a $100 offering and tap into this anointing, and God is going to pour out blessings. You're going to get checks in the mail. Come on and say, man, angel going to fly down and hand you some money. That's not going to happen. And what if it never happens? Will you continue to work? Will you continue to stay in this? Will you continue to worship God? Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, we got some people that say, I want to be blessed, and they hadn't even learned how to tithe yet. And you got to get the curse off of you before you can be blessed and get the blessing on you. Come on and say amen. Try not to go there. Amen. But they have a sense of entitlement. And the reason why or say that they're entitled to certain things is because of the message that we send out to them. We send out a message to people to make them think that they're entitled to something. We got to see here that God wants us to do something to even get into the kingdom. What does he want us to do? He wants us to believe. Amen. We always say, well, we are all God's children. We put them in a category and say, well, you're entitled because you came to earth, because you were born. But that doesn't give you an entitlement. It doesn't give you the inheritance. He said, they that are followed or are led of the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. And those are the only ones that are entitled to any inheritance. He said, he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't have an entitlement. Amen? You are not entitled to get anything. Come on and say amen. So we're all God's creation. But believing and having faith makes us his children. Come on and say amen anyway. So the reason for this is because of his selfishness. Because he was self-centered, amen? He wanted to be free and independent. You've heard that he had to be a teenager. He had to be. He wanted to be free and independent. I can't wait to get out of here. I'm going to do all kinds. I can't wait to get free. He wanted to be cut loose. So that he can go cut loose. Y'all don't hear me now. Yeah, he wanted to be free. He said, I want some stuff. I don't want to work for it, but I want what you're going to give me, and I want to be free from you. The Bible tells us that without a vision, the people perish. Now, what does that mean? Really, what it means is without a vision, the people perish. It means that without a restraint, without some type of borders, amen, that God has given us, then we cease to be effective in life. Amen. So I want to be effective. I want to do what God called me to do. And so therefore, I have to have some restraint. And so guess what? He doesn't just cut me loose and say, here, you got liberty to do what you want to do. I freeze you from sin. No, he gives me a governor on the inside called the Holy Spirit so that I will stay within the boundary so that I can keep my inheritance. He wanted to get away. Why did he want to get away? First off, he wanted to get away from responsibility. That's what people do. We got to get away from responsibility because his dad had him. You know, when you're a son of a rich man, he's not going to just put you in the field. He's going to give you some things to do in the field, but he's going to put people there to work for you. So this boy had, he was trying to get away from his responsibility of what made the family prosperous. Oh, come on and say amen. And sometimes children will want to get away from the family so that they don't have to live up to the name that the family has. Come on and say amen. Y'all scared this morning? Don't be scared of your children if they sit now. Amen. And they wanted to get away. He wanted to get away from being responsible to say that he was called to be this man's son because this man was an upstanding man. He was a good man. Come on and say amen. And he wanted to get away from his responsibility, but he wanted to get away from his accountability. He did not want to be accountable. Amen. And so many times that's why people don't want to be a part of church. That's why they don't want to be a part of the church of God, is because they don't want to be accountable. I want to do my own thing. I want to go and come when I get ready. If I don't want to pay tithes, I don't have to. If I don't want to give, I don't have to. If I don't want to sing, I don't have to. If I want to miss, I don't want nobody to say where you was. I just want to slip in and out. Come on. I don't want to be accountable. So many people don't want to be accountable. In this day, we've made it so easy, and I'm not talking down on mega churches. I love them, and I'm glad we have them. But so many people join churches that are big so that they don't be noticed, so they don't have to be accountable. Come on and say, man. They join, they go in, they sit in the back, and I leave before the benediction so nobody notices me, nobody says anything to me, and I don't have to feel accountable to anyone, so I just do what I do. Amen? I know y'all thinking about somebody you know. But some of us are the same way. We don't want to be accountable. That's why we don't want to be, I don't want to be part of that part of the ministry because I don't want to be accountable. I might not want to be here. Oh, come on and say, man. I don't want to be part of the choir because they go too much. Help us, Holy Ghost. So here it is, this boy. He says, I want what's mine. I want you to give me my portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided and gave it to him. You had a son that stayed home and one that left. Verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance in riotous living. Now, the thing about it, he asked for it with a deceptive mind. Mm-hmm. He had a deceptive heart. He says, I want what's mine. But he didn't say what his intention was. And you know what? God knows our intention. But he still gives us anyway. He still blesses us anyway. We think that we're fooling God. God, if you bless me with this, if you do that, I'll do this. And you know you're not going to do it. You know that the day that he bless you, you're going to stop coming to church. The day that he bless you, you're going to find you something else to do. The day that he bless you. Come on and say, man. He took a few days. And then he said, you know, I can't stand this. I got to go spend this money. And he took a journey into a far country and wasted the substance with riotous living. Now, when we look at riotous living, we understand that in his riotous living, what happened to him? If you read verse 14, 15, and 16, it lets you know what happened. And look, kid, let's just take our time. The first thing we understand is that his riotous living, it made him destitute. Let's look at it. He says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went to join himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his field to feed the swine. So the first thing we see, his riotous living cost him everything that he asked for. Everything that he thought he was entitled to, he lost in just a few days of riotous living. Amen? And so his riotous living made him destitute, and he wasted everything that he had, including time. Everything that he had was wasted. Amen. And then the Bible said that a great famine came. And so his riotous living made him destitute. And he wasn't ready for the famine. So the famine brought a disaster to him. Amen. He had a disaster that happened. And he, the Bible said, was in want. He had nothing. Amen. He fell from being rich to being poor in just a matter of time. Amen. Do you know that this man probably had so many friends at that time in that faraway country that he couldn't shake a stick at all of them at the same time because he had so many friends and he spent so much money? You know how it is when you get money. People will help you spend it. They may not help you get it, but they'll help you spend it. Come on and say amen. And so when he got all of this, he took it and he got himself some friends and he was living and living it up in his riotous living, and he fell destitute in a disaster and had nothing in the time of famine. What we got to realize here is that God blesses us so that even in the famine, we'll still have enough to give. We'll still have enough to keep us and sustain us. Come on and say amen. And so when we look at it, he said that he fell destitute in a disaster, and then he fell into disgrace. What do you mean? Look at it. He says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into a field to feed swine. So he fell in a place where, you know, this boy was the son of his father. His father was a blessed man who had blessed many people, who had many servants. And this boy had a call on his life, just like his father did, to be the heir of the estate. Come on and say amen. Here we are, just like this boy sometime. We call ourselves doing what we want to do and end up being a shepherd of hogs, amen, rather than shepherding people. What do you mean? Instead of us guiding people to God, we find ourselves in a place that we shouldn't be, in the pig pen. Come on and say amen. The pig pen is not for us to live in, amen? This man was called to people, but he didn't use his calling like he should have. He didn't walk in his calling like he should have, and so it left him in disgrace. Amen. How did it leave him in disgrace? Well, look at verse 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, here it is. He was giving to everybody, party over here, party over there. But then when he needed something, nobody was there for him. You see what happened to him? He was in disgrace. Why? Because look at what happened. He was about to eat the husk that was not fit for him, but for the hogs. What are you talking about now? I'm talking about how when we fall into disgrace, when we leave where we're supposed to be planted, we fall into doing things that we shouldn't be doing. And we feed on stuff that God didn't intend for us to feed on. What do you mean? We feed on trash. We feed on garbage. Come on and say amen. When you look at the husk, there was something that was thrown away, something that was not fit for a man to eat, but only a hog. A hog can eat anything, but a man can't. Come on and say amen. And so when I look at what happened to him, he began to feed on garbage. He would have filled his belly. Now, when you study the word belly, you find out the word belly not only does it mean your tummy, but it also means your mind, amen? It also means the inner part of you, amen? It means the place where the real you is seated. And so he was feeding off of garbage. Let me give you a little something. We feed off garbage when we fall out of our place, when we get into the world and we stop focusing on God. We stop missing, come on and say amen, missing church so that we can feed on some garbage that they put on television. Come here, basketball wives. Oh, Lord, help me. We feed on garbage. We feed on the reality shows. We feed on gossip. We feed on lies. Come on and say amen. We feed on stuff that we shouldn't be feeding on to fill our bellies, where we should be filled with the word of God. We should be filled with the power of God. But instead, we fill ourselves with gossip and lies and untruths and stuff that we will entertain, and things that will not build us up but will cause us to break up. Amen. What are you filling your belly with? Are you filling it with the garbage that the world offers? We got garbage everywhere. You turn the internet on, garbage. Turn the TV on, garbage. Open a newspaper, garbage. Come on and say, man, you go to work. You got garbage workers in there, your place where you work. You don't even work at the trash dump. But they come to work with garbage and they dump it on you. Garbage. But you need to say, I'm not a trash dump, nor am I a trash can. I don't want the garbage. I want to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible said, be ye filled with the Spirit of God. I want to be filled with the Spirit. When I'm filled with the Spirit, there's no room for the devil. There's no room for the garbage. There's no room for the mess. You know one thing about garbage? If you let it stay, it stinks. And so guess what? If you get garbage in your life, you stink just like the garbage do. Come on and say amen. And so I don't want my life to stink. I want my life to be a fresh smelling savor that goes up in the nostrils of God. I want to be a sacrifice that when God smells, he said, oh, that smells good. Smells like pure worship. Smells like pure praise. It smells like somebody with a good heart. Oh, come on and say amen. But I don't want to fill myself with garbage. Amen. He had fell into disgrace. He decided, I'll eat the unclean. I'll eat the mess. Are you feeding on mess? So many people do. Church folk, feed on mess. We love mess. Come on and say amen. We're going to get a little messy at times. We get a little messy at times. But we can't feed on mess. We have to put mess in its proper place. When you take garbage, what do you put it? You put it in a bag. And when you put it in the bag has a color that you can't really see what's in the bag. And so guess what? When I take mess and garbage, I put it in a place where nobody else can see it. And then now they make them they used to give you the twist tie, but everything got a string on it, a cinch. You just cinch it up and tie it up and it's over. You ain't got to smell it no more. You ain't got to look at it no more. You ain't got to deal with it no more. And so many of us, instead of us putting it where it belongs, putting it in its proper place, we take it and we feed off of it. If y'all saw me eating out of the trash can, y'all say, he done lost his mind. Y'all, we got to pray. That's what you would say. And so how come we spiritually eat out of the garbage? If I saw you eating out of the can, I'd be like, hold on, look, come on, let's go Southern Classic right here. I'll buy you something to eat. But look, you know what we do? When we see people eating out of the trash can, we go over there and say, man, must be something in there. And we get in there right there with them and start digging along with them. Come on and say, man. Instead of doing that, you need to slap that hand, close the bag up and say, come with me. Go wash up by the washing of the water, by the word of God, so that you can get fed. So he says that he would have filled his belly. He would have filled his belly with those things. Verse 15, where he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to work in his field feeding the swine. Look at what happened here. He went from having it going on to needing somebody. And this somebody didn't think enough of him to say, hey, I got a different job for you. But he sent him out to the field. He sent him. He went from being a chosen son to being just an average servant. Oh, come on and say amen. Many of us don't realize who we are in God. God has chosen you. You are a chosen son, a chosen person. Amen. The Bible said that we are a royal priesthood, a what? Chosen generation. Amen. A holy nation. We need to know that God has put a mark on us to let people know that we are his chosen. But we're too busy trying to cover up the mark. We're too busy getting in the mess. Oh, come on and say amen. All right, let's go on to verse number 17. He says, verse 16 says, and no man gave to him. Nobody gave him anything. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Look at this. He says, how many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare, and here I am. I don't have nothing. Now, the fact that he talks about bread is something, it lets us know that we need bread to live. Amen. But we are not talking about just the bread. We're talking about the bread of life. So what was happening now in this man's life, after he did his riotous living, he began to repent in himself. He began to repent because he said, I will arise, verse 18, and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am not more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Amen. He says, look, I'm repenting. Before he even go, he had already made a plan to repent. Amen. He had already made a plan to repent. And so what we got to do sometime or another in our life is that when we know we're going in the wrong direction, we got to make a plan to turn it around. Amen. When things are not going right in our life, we need to stop. Pump your brakes. Come on and say, man, turn around and get things back in order. Make a plan of how I'm going to make it. Amen. Make a plan of how to turn things around in my life. Now, look at this. He says in verse 20, he says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This man repented and he began to return. Tell somebody, go home. Get up and go home. We see here that once the son had decided to go home, we find here that he on his way, while he's walking, his father sees him from a great distance, and his father does not wait for him to approach him. But his father goes out and meets him. Come on and say amen. That lets us know, and what Jesus was trying to show us, is that God does not wait for you to get to him. But God will come to you wherever you are and whatever condition you're in. I don't care how stink your life is. I don't care how bad off your life has become. You need to know that it does not hinder God from coming to you. Come on and say amen. And so he said he came to him and had compassion on and ran and fell on his neck. He didn't go and walk and say, I'm going to see if that's my son. He recognized who he was. And you know one thing about God? I don't care how bad off you become. I don't care how different you become. God still recognizes you. He still identifies who you are. He knows exactly who you are, where you come from. He knows who you are. And so he comes with not judgment. The Bible said he didn't come and say, I told you not to leave. Why did you leave? But the Bible said that he came down with compassion. He came down with love. He came down and said, you know, it doesn't even matter what you smell like. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter that you've been in the hog pen. It doesn't matter that you lost everything that I gave you. It does not matter. But what matters is that you've come back. What matters is that you repented. What matters is that you turned it around. Oh, come on and say amen here. And look at this. What I love about this father is that he kissed him on the neck. Come on and say amen. He grabbed him around the neck and he kissed him. Come on and say amen. And so when he fell upon his neck, that lets us know that he didn't mind getting in close. You see, you can't gross God out. Some church folks may be I can't touch him. I don't want to deal with him. Don't want nothing to do with him. Got to get away from they don't smell right. Something ain't right. Something smells fishy. I don't think so. I think something's going on. But forget those.